This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Amy Dunphy. Now, the Republicans have, as we know, gained control of the House of Representatives, Congress, and they are beginning to make moves. And one of the moves they're planning to make is against Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who is by trade an attorney. He's the second son of Joe Biden and Joe Biden's first wife, Nellie Hunter Biden. Tragically, in 1972, Joe Biden's wife, Nellie, was involved in a car crash. Her one-year-old daughter, Naomi, died, and her two sons, Beau Biden and Hunter Biden, were both critically injured. It's a terrible tragedy, of course, and subsequently, Beau Biden died of brain cancer in 2015 at the age of 46. Hunter Biden is, as I said, an attorney, but he has had extensive dealings, and there are suggestions from Republicans and others that he has used his father's position for his own benefit. Some of the dealings were with people in Ukraine, and of course also Hunter Biden had addiction problems, which, as we understand it, he has now overcome. We're joined now from Washington by Niall Stanich, associate editor of The Hill and White House columnist for The Hill. Niall, the Republicans have made it clear now that they're going to go after Hunter Biden. They may well also, according to some reports I've seen, attempt to go after Joe Biden. How serious is this for the Biden administration in the 2 years running up to a presidential election?
It's a serious matter, Eamon, and I would say that any time Hunter Biden is in the headlines, that is not a good thing for President Biden. Now, one of the difficulties in discussing Hunter Biden is that there are two sides of the story, isn't quite the right way of putting it. There are very serious questions to answer. There are things that look sketchy or shady at best. And then the flip side of that is that Republicans and conservative media often outrun the available evidence by quite a distance to accuse President Biden in particular of all sorts of misdeeds that have at the very least not been proven at this point. Now, Hunter Biden's business dealings, when I say they're sketchy or shady, the most famous example probably is his time on the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian gas company, on which he served for several years, reportedly getting paid around $50,000 per month. So the point really is that this lavish schedule of payments to Hunter Biden doesn't appear to really be justified by any notable expertise he has in, for example, Eastern European gas exploration. The suspicion, of course, is that the Ukrainians were buying the kudos that came with the Biden name. And that's why, to use only that example, there are legitimate questions around that.
Yes, and the New York Post in October 2020 published an article about a laptop computer that previously belonged to Hunter Biden. The laptop is said to have contained around 129,000 emails and other materials, but the New York Post provided no evidence that the chain of custody was accurate, and other media outlets decided not to publish the story due to the question about its provenance. Of course, the New York Post is a Murdoch publication, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I suppose the bigger point is how much political hay the Republicans can make of this, because, as we know, there are some Republicans in that Congress who are seriously disruptive and quite unpleasant.
Yes. Just to take the first part of that question first, Eamon, the issue of the laptop and so forth.
Yes.
The resistance by more mainstream or non-Murdoch papers to covering that story was understandable in the moment, but proven wrong, really, by subsequent events. The summary of events was that the story had been that Hunter Biden had dropped off a laptop in a repair shop in Delaware in April 2019 and had never come back to return it. And to make a long story short, the owner ended up providing a copy, the owner of the repair shop, provided a copy of the computer, and it ended up in the hands of Rudy Giuliani, of all people. That fostered a lot of suspicion and skepticism. And when the New York Post published that story, very controversially, both Facebook and Twitter took measures to prevent users from sharing that story as widely as they otherwise might have been able to. In fact, to give due credit to the New York Post, that story and the provenance of the laptop and the authenticity of the laptop has in fact stood up. So I think we need to sort of note that in passing. Now, as to the other point, clearly there are Republicans who are more than happy to use the matter of Hunter Biden for political capital or to reap political dividends from it. I think they may do in the fact that, as I say, there are legitimate questions, and you can always use legitimate questions to fan bigger questions or to fan political passions. So from the outset, we knew that if Republicans were going to win the majority in the House of Representatives, which they did do by a narrower majority than expected, they were going to conduct these kinds of inquiries. I would also say just briefly, Eamon, although there are risks to Republicans in that, there are also risks in that President Biden is understandably, I would say, sensitive about his family, certainly sensitive to any suggestion of a lack of integrity on his part. And those are understandable emotions, but they sometimes cause him to react to these kinds of stories or these kinds of accusations in a way that is not politically prudent, I would say.
Yes, and I should point out to listeners that since late 2018, Hunter Biden's tax affairs have been under federal criminal investigation, and that doubtless traces back to Burisma and that kind of, large amounts of money that he was being paid while his father was, in fact, vice president.
Yes, and there's also another related matter also under investigation, which may not rise to the level of a prosecutable offence, but Hunter Biden bought a handgun during a period when he has subsequently admitted being addicted to crack and to alcohol.
Yes.
And in the process of legitimately acquiring a handgun, you have to, sign a statement, which includes a denial that you're addicted to those things. Now, oftentimes, as I say, those kind of offences are not prosecuted. Offences regarding gun documentation tend to be prosecuted only when, for example, someone's buying a weapon for someone else to use in the commission of a violent crime or something like that. But it certainly adds to the cloud that hangs over Hunter Biden, I would say.
Now, when I read the research on this in the New York Times, now, there was a line that sort of sent a chill down my spine. And it was from Steve Bannon, Trump's former strategist, as they put it. And Bannon says, quote, "I don't care about Hunter's feelings. This is war," close quote. In other words, this is about getting at Joe Biden via his son. But Bannon's, you know, bile and talk of war is disturbing. And presumably, Bannon has been part of the Trump story from 2016. For a short period, he was Trump's chief of staff in the White House, I think.
He was a senior advisor. He wasn't chief of staff. Yes. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
a senior advisor and is still around. He is, I think, a talk radio show host at the moment. He is also somebody that was given a pardon by Donald Trump before he left office, and someone who was guilty of using money that he solicited to help build the wall for himself. He's a creepy character. Is he likely to surface again?
Well, I think he is, in the sense that he is still around. He has become, as you say, more of a sort of a right-wing media figure, really, which is what he was in the first place. When he joined Donald Trump's campaign in 2016, Steve Bannon was best known for his leadership of a website here called Breitbart, which is sort of specializes in not only conservative news, but I would say presenting news in quite an inflammatory way. He was, as you say, subsequent to the campaign then in the White House. And I should note probably that I know Steve Bannon to a degree. He is temperamentally completely unsuited to being a team player in anything. And I don't even mean that particularly disparagingly of him. He's a loner, bit of a maverick, bit of an odd character. And so his tenure in the White House was really rather short. And he was also one of the main sources, clearly, for a book by an author named Michael Wolff, which was very critical of Trump and of the other members of Donald Trump's family. But anyway, Steve Bannon was involved in this in the laptop story to some degree, and is certainly involved in the political pursuit of Hunter Biden with the aim of wringing political benefits from that. And that idea of this is war is a very Bannon-esque way of putting it. I mean, Bannon tends to see things in, well, to say black and white terms would not be the best phraseology. He tends to see things in absolutist terms. And that, you know, this is part of that. Now, I mentioned earlier on, Eamon, that there are risks for Republicans in this. Part of that is overreaching into such a sensitive area as President Biden's family. And you mentioned this in your introduction. I mean, Joe Biden's family life has been marked by really unimaginable tragedy. That car crash which killed not only his first wife but his infant daughter, who was 13 months old at the time, and then the much later death of Beau Biden from brain cancer. I think those events understandably create a popular sympathy for Biden when it comes to his family, and that's why attacks on other members of the family have to be you have to be a little bit careful in how you do that.
Yes, but what you were saying about Bannon being a hard man is undoubtedly right. It's also true that the people who hold our friend McCarthy's fate in their hands are hard men as well, aren't they? And Kevin McCarthy can be out of the speakership, or at least have his speakership of the House threatened, if one person in the House objects to him.
Yes, it's an amazing state
of affairs. And a very destabilizing, I'm sure. But I suppose the point I was trying to make was that it does incentivize some of these hard men of the right who are more interested in disrupting than governing.
Yes, absolutely.
With opportunity.
Yes, there's no question about that. It gives them enormous leverage. To make, again, a somewhat long story short, in order to be elected Speaker on the 15th vote, no less, yeah, Kevin McCarthy had to make a lot of concessions to the far right, the most Trumpian members of his own party. And the big concession was that, as you pointed out, only one Republican member is required to object to McCarthy's presence as Speaker. And that then sparks a whole, effectively a vote of confidence in which he could be ousted. So that places enormous power in the hands of the Matt Gaetzes of the world, or the another guy in Texas, Chip Roy, or even Marjorie Taylor Greene, who McCarthy has sort of bought off with committee assignments so far, but who could turn against him if she feels that is the most advantageous course for her. So Kevin McCarthy is in an incredibly fragile position. And those people whom I've just mentioned are in a very, very strong position within the dynamics of the Republican Party, particularly in the House of Representatives.
Now, in this 2 years that are coming up, possibly the last 2 years of a Biden administration, but not necessarily, because it is believed, isn't it, Niall, that he will run again. Mm. That appears to have been the mood and still be the mood around the Biden camp.
Yes, that does indeed appear to be the mood. In fact, there has been some reporting, including by some of my colleagues, that there is an expectation that he might officially declare perhaps sometime next month, which is when the State of the Union address is scheduled. The State of the Union, of course, a big sort of set piece of American politics. Now, I think it's worth noting that Biden has been weakened by this current rumpus over classified documents.
Yes.
But it's not at all clear, if he didn't run, who the better option for Democrats would be, given that Vice President Harris is generally seen as a fairly flawed political figure, and there's no very obvious third option after Biden and Harris.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Donald Trump and Biden share one thing in common, which is classified papers turning up in their private possession, effectively. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the case of Biden, we believe, I think there were three places that they turned up in, and as soon as he found out, they were handed over, we believe, or you might put me right on that. Mm-hmm. The difference between him and Trump is that Trump lied, evaded, refused to turn them over, then said he was turning them over, didn't turn them all over, and behaved in an entirely different way. And there were hundreds. Mm. In the case of Biden, I believe it's less than 20.
Yes, I think it has gone up to 25, according to recent reports. But the point is far, far less than Trump, for whom the number is somewhere in the vicinity of 300. I think the other point that you made is the one that is of prime importance when we're describing the differences. In the case of Biden, there were some documents discovered in an office he had maintained here in Washington. There were some discovered in the garage of his house in Wilmington in Delaware, and then a few other pages discovered in the actual house itself. All of those documents appear to have been turned over promptly within about 24 or 48 hours to the National Archives, which is the authority that takes possession of such things. In Trump's case, there was an effort by those authorities that lasted longer than a year to get what they wanted back.
Yes.
And that was resisted rather fiercely, including a subpoena seemingly being resisted. And that final straw precipitating ultimately the raid by the FBI in August last year. I do want to stress that doesn't mean that Biden is clean or in the clear. I mean, there are some questions around his conduct as well, but there are very clear differences between his case and Trump's case.
Just a final question, Niall, about Hunter Biden's position as of now. He has been a hedge fund manager, a venture capitalist. He's been involved in private equity funds, investing. He's worked as a lobbyist, a banker, a public administration official, and he's registered a lobbyist firm, and he is by profession an attorney, a lawyer. If they, and it appears they will, if the Congress, Kevin McCarthy's Congress for the moment, if they decide to go after Hunter Biden, what's your estimate of the damage it could do to Joe Biden?
It could bog down Biden's agenda, clearly, for a very long time. I think it could erode his support. And of course, that support is not at particularly high levels anyway. It could erode that support almost regardless of what they discover, because of course, there is a very powerful conservative media here, not just Fox News, but talk radio and digital outlets that amplify these kind of charges very powerfully. The other point, the worst case scenario, Eamon, for Biden, is a situation in which he, the president, is perhaps revealed to be involved in some way in some of these dealings. So far, the White House has very much taken refuge, or maybe taken strength, from the declaration that Joe Biden had no knowledge or in-depth involvement in his son's business affairs. If that were to prove to be untrue, then you would be in very deep water, I think, and it would be a very grave problem for the president.
Yes, there has been talk, or there was talk, even before they took control of the House of Representatives, that they would seek to impeach Joe Biden. I'm not imagining that, am I?
No, you're not. There has been some talk of that, and it could theoretically happen. Just so, I mean, you're right in what you just asked, just so our listeners don't get confused by terminology. Impeachment and removal from office are two different things. For, you know, Trump was twice impeached, Bill Clinton was once impeached, and neither man was actually removed from office. Impeachment is essentially a vote of the House of Representatives. For high crimes and misdemeanors, which it's basically up to the House of Representatives to define, they could pursue such a course against President Biden if they wanted to. They would need, I think, more evidence than they have at the moment. And as has been discovered in the past, you do run a risk when you run an impeachment effort of seeming to be spending your time on that rather than the so-called bread and butter issues that might be more relevant to people's daily lives. But all of that being said, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of the Republicans going for it at all.
Yeah, because Joe Biden, when he was vice president to Barack Obama, he was responsible for Ukraine as vice president at the time when Hunter appears to have been active there.
Yeah, he certainly had an involvement, although the main element of that involvement doesn't, in my view, amount to what the Republicans claim it amounts to. long story short, a prosecutor in Ukraine was removed, and Republicans have always alleged or insinuated that that was done to somehow protect the company that Hunter Biden was working for. In fact, that Ukrainian prosecutor was opposed by the international community, and his failing was perceived to be being too soft on corruption, not going after it too rigorously.
Okay, now we're very grateful to you for joining us on Stand, Niall Stanage. We're grateful, as always, to Niall, to you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.